You're listening to a Katie Cast. News, information, and lots of chatty stuff from Katie McAllister.
This is a behind-the-scenes look at Improper English, the first of my contemporaries, published March 2003. I will discuss some points which may be spoilers for this book, so if you haven't yet read it, you may want to hold off on listening to the podcast. Improper English had a bit of an odd beginning. I had just finished writing Noble Destiny, and was suddenly possessed with the desire to write a contemporary romance, but one with a bit of a twist. I wanted to do it in first person. Now, at the time I was considering this, the first couple of chick lit books had just hit the shelves, and the people in the romance publishing world were taking a bit of a wait-and-see stance towards it. While I knew I wouldn't be good writing chick lit itself, I badly wanted to write a first-person romance that had a similar flip-light tone. Unfortunately, at that time, my publisher, Dorchester, had a no-first-person books policy, with the exception of some of their gothic romances. But despite that, I wrote a couple of chapters and sent them to my editor, Kate Seaver. Luckily, Kate absolutely loved the chapters and managed to get the publisher to accept the book despite the fact that it was a first-person romance. In fact, they seemed to view the fact that it was something new and different as an asset and ended up bumping the book, which would be my second published, to a lead slot and throwing the full weight of their PR machine behind it. That worked. It hit the USA Today list and brought in a whole new type of reader. People ask me how much of myself I put into my books, and while the answer is that it usually varies depending on the book, Improper English is one which has a lot of me in it. Many of Alex's adventures in London were based on my first visit, which lasted over a year. Alex's pot plant? Yeah, I picked one up from a street vendor. The haircut? That, too, happened to me in England. I cut my waist-length hair to a short bob and spent the next week swishing my hair back and forth, amazed at the sensation of having short, kicky hair. The small flat that Alex moves into at the end of the book was based on the room I had smack dab in the middle of King's Cross, which was then the red light district. The guy with snakes tattooed on his neck? Yep, he was real, and he scared the living bejeepers out of me every time I had to walk past him. But probably the most memorable experience I had that made it into the book was the time my flatmate and I went to see American Werewolf in London. We had dinner in an Italian restaurant afterwards, whereupon we guzzled way too much wine and staggered home through the exact same tube station as was depicted in the movie, just as it was about to close. Yes, it really was deserted by everyone but a homeless person who we honestly did think was a werewolf. I still remember running like hell through the station with what I was convinced in my drunken haze was a werewolf hot on my tail. When Improper English came out, people either loved or hated Alex. The former group appreciated the fact that she had some serious flaws to overcome before she found happiness, while the latter either didn't see beyond the flaws or did and pretty much didn't care. I was pleased with both responses because it meant that her character evoked strong responses in readers, which writers always strive for. Alex was definitely flawed. In fact, the book original title, which I felt reflected her well, was Imperfect English. And I wrote her as a direct response to a trend that was prevalent then of perfect heroines with whom I just couldn't connect. I wanted a heroine who had been hurt in the past, but who didn't allow herself to become a victim. Alex's transition from selfishness and denial to acceptance and understanding was a rocky road, But I felt it was grounded in reality, and judging by the volume of email I received from people who said they were just like Alex or knew someone who was, I wasn't alone in that thought. Someone once said that the hardest thing for a singer to do is to sing badly, and I have to admit that the same thing applies to writers. Writing the horribly purple prose that started most of the chapters wasn't as easy as I thought it would be. It had to be very over the top, which actually was the easy part, but also reflect what was going on in Alex's mind at the moment. So as the book progressed, different aspects of what was going on had to affect the historical snippets, and that turned out to make for fairly disjointed samples. I struggled with that for a while, then decided that the unconnected feeling of Alex's writings were meant to be. They mimicked the sense of isolation she felt in her life. I stopped trying to make them fit and just let them be. Alex Black's job at Scotland Yard was quite real and had its basis in an email discussion I had with a Metropolitan Police detective with whom I discussed at length the subject of internet pornography. I freely admit that giving the male Alex Alan Rickman's voice was yet another reflection of myself. Just like the dance scenes on the steps, I listened exclusively to the Austin Powers soundtrack while writing Improper English, and that made it into the book as well. Something that wasn't based on real people were Bert and Ray, the two women who lived below Alex. Although they were intended to be merely secondary characters who didn't have a big presence in the book, much like Philippe, who was actually based on my landlord in London, I absolutely fell in love with them and ended up writing bigger roles for them than I first intended. They get a lot of fan mail, so I gather other people enjoy them as well. One of the most frequently asked questions I get about Improper English is whether or not Bert and Ray will make another appearance. The answer is that it's definitely on my to-do list. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this behind-the-scenes podcast for Improper English. If you'd like more information about any of my books, pop over to katiemcallister.com or dragonseps.com. And feel free to drop me a line if you have questions or comments at katie@katiemcallister.com.